Blog Talk Radio. Executed, all male domain, all men all the time? Do you know what kind of woman you have to be to survive, not only survive, but to thrive and to gain their utmost respect, their utmost regard, and to gain the admiration of not only the men you work with, but everybody who encounters you? Do you know what kind of woman you had to be in 1980? You gotta be powerful.
Thank you once again, Ms. Oprah Winfrey. Tonight, we have a great show in store for y'all. This is Chris on IMTN Worldwide Radio. This is Women in Business. We are on a Thursday night, not usually doing Thursday night show. 646-652-4479. So, the Women in Business show has been around for almost a year, actually over a year now, actually. We need to do an anniversary party of some sort. Tonight, we have a special guest. It's somebody that I've looked forward to having on the show for quite a while, actually. Let me give you a little hint on what we're talking about. It's not just cooking, it's creating. That is what I think about when it comes to being a chef. When you're cooking, you're just not... when you're cooking, I should say, you're just responsible for one item. Usually you just cook that item all day, all night. But when you're a chef, you're responsible for everything, the menu, the ingredients, the portions, the plating, and more. I've been looking forward to this particular night for a long time, and I know it's going to be worth the wait. Chef Dede LeBlanc is a classically trained chef based in Atlanta. We're going to learn about her love for food and when it began. The steps needed to get to where she is today, obstacles that she's overcome, plans for the future, and much more. We're going to get to find out a little bit about who she is when she's not working as a chef as well. I know you're going to get a kick out of some of those things. Let's not forget, though, the Women in Business show highlights women that desire to create their own business or use their talents to create opportunities for themselves. So if you want to listen to some of the past episodes or some of the tremendous women we've had in the past, please do the following. First of all, follow IMTN Worldwide Radio on Facebook and Instagram, and you can listen to past episodes on Spreaker, iHeartRadio, and Spotify. Don't forget that. So that being said, let's go ahead and bring our guest in. Dede, how are you doing tonight? How you doing, Dede?
I'm doing well. How are you, Chris?
Oh, I'm doing fine. Just want to make sure we had you on there. Here we go. There we go. Now we're cooking. Pardon the pun. So, first of all, thanks for taking time out of your tremendously busy schedule. And as we get deeper into the interview tonight, everybody, the audience, is going to really realize how hard you really do work to make things happen on a regular basis. So thank you again. So first and foremost, since this is our first time getting to talk and my audience hasn't had a chance to really be introduced, go ahead and introduce yourself. Tell a little bit about yourself.
Well, my name is Dede LeBlanc, and I am a native of Atlanta. I was born and raised here. And I am a chef, and I work at Emory University. I'm a private chef for the frat houses there. I feed the Emory baseball team, and so that's basically it.
Well, we're going to make it more than just it, because there's a lot that goes into it. And of course, one thing I'll say to the audience. When you're talking about food, now I'm nowhere near anything near a chef, although some people be like Chef Chris this and whatever. I just happen to enjoy cooking when I have the time or whatnot. This young lady here make some spectacular dishes, whether or not you want to say they're complicated and or simple. They all look good, and it makes you want to eat. So I'm just going to go ahead and throw that out there right off the bat. So that being said, one of the things I mentioned in my intro is, you know, your love of cooking. Did you always have a love of cooking? Like, give us a little bit of, like, from, you know, when you were younger, did you always know that food was going to be, you know, part of your life?
I didn't know that it was going to be my career. I did not start out in this business. I grew up, you know, that hungry kid, and, you know, we didn't have a lot of money when I was growing up, and we didn't have a lot of food. But, you know, my grandmother, my mother, my great-grandmother, everybody in my family cooked. You know, the women in my family were very good cooks. And, you know, I ended up going to culinary school late in life because I realized that I wasn't doing what I love to do, which is cook and feed people. And so, you know, in my late 40s, I ended up going to culinary school, and, you know, that's the story, basically. I got my first job at a restaurant south of the airport. It was a farm-to-table restaurant. I learned so much there, and, you know, I had a lot of knowledge already because I'm older, and, you know, a lot of the chefs are younger than me, but, yeah, I learned so much there and gained a lot of knowledge in regards to the technical side of the culinary world, the hard side, you know, it's very physically demanding, and then, you know, ended up, you know, moving on to, you know, the private chef arena, and I'm really enjoying it. Unfortunately, we just got laid off because it is a university, and with the coronavirus going around right now, they basically, you know, they're doing the internet education thing right now where nobody's going to classes. So, you know, that takes us out of the sequence as well. But, you know, we'll be back in the fall. We'll be back in the fall. And, you know, I'm doing other things, too. I've got an Etsy shop. So, you know, I create things and sell things through my Etsy shop. And, you know, I'll probably be doing some cakes and desserts, you know, over the summer because we don't work during the summer. It's a seasonal job. So, yeah, that's where I'm at currently.
Wow. That's, well, of course, all of us are well aware of things going on, you know, in different arenas. Education, definitely. You have a lot of the universities, as Didi mentioned. Of course, sporting. The sports world is getting hit hard right now by, you know, suspending seasons and things of that nature. So we definitely, there's a lot of people who can relate to your situation right now.
Right.
So definitely appreciate that. We're definitely going to talk about a couple of those other things, but I got to ask you, you said you were in your late 40s when you decided to up and go to culinary school. What were you doing before then that at the end of the day, you knew that's not what you wanted to do?
I was in business. I was in, you know, I was working with Ford and, you know, with engineers every day and with problem vehicles. And, you know, I had been in, you know, that career field, you know, since my early 20s. And, you know, it just wasn't fulfilling to me. And there was something missing in my life. And I saw an opportunity, you know, to go to school. And, you know, I graduated with honors because it was truly what I love. And, you know, they say that you don't work a day in your life if you do what you love. And I'm truly doing what I love. And, you know, yeah, it comes a point in your life. And I think when you get older and you get more mature, you realize that, you know, there are certain things in life that you need to, you know, take a step, you know, of faith out and, you know, see what happens. You know, I was either going to succeed or fail, and I succeeded, so.
Well, and actually, you closed it out right there as far as that particular thought in regards to, at a certain point, if you're really not happy, are you really going to just settle to not be happy? Right. And for some people, it's a matter of, well, the money is good, or I'm really comfortable. Money is not great, but I'm okay. And it's hard. It's always going to be near impossible to find the perfect position that you like to do and you get paid. You either like it and don't get paid, or you get paid and you don't like
right.
it. It's few and far between. It can right. happen, but sometimes you have to either self-create it lots of times. And so Diddy is like a
yeah.
great example of that, y'all. Like, it doesn't matter the time frame. When you have priorities, it doesn't matter how long it takes you to get there, as long as you do get there. So I definitely appreciate
yeah.
that is a great example right there. So after
mm-hmm.
you decided to go to culinary school, now you mentioned this earlier, was there any, I'm not going to say that, like, if people were intimidating you necessarily, but because you were with those who are much younger than you, maybe have been, I don't know, in school, maybe even longer than you and whatnot. Like, how was that, just the school part of it? Because you already knew how to, of course, cook a few, you know how to cook a little something, you know, with your family and everything like
mm-hmm.
that. But then
mm-hmm.
when you go into the culinary part, you know, now you're talking about techniques and discipline and all
mm-hmm.
that kind of good stuff. So tell us about that part of it as far as going through culinary school. Because you did graduate with honors, of course, right?
Yes. Mm-hmm. A lot of people don't realize that culinary school is very, very difficult. There's only a 26% graduation rate. I think the hardest part for me was I had to take math, and it's been a lot of years since I've been in school, and math was very, very difficult for me. The first day in class, I was in tears, literally in tears, because I didn't understand what was going on. And I just, it wasn't, you know, clicking with me. So I ended up talking to the culinary director who was there at the time, just great person. And he helped me take a step back, take another class, which was like a pre-algebra class, and then go back and retake the class, and everything was fine after that. That was the biggest obstacle for me going through, you know, culinary school. As far as the younger people that were in there with me, they leaned on me a lot because, you know, I was kind of like the mom, and,
mm-hmm.
you know, they looked up to me. I'm an artist, so I'm very creative, and, you know, You can't teach creativity, but you can
mm-hmm.
you can lead. I tried to lead these younger people in a way in which, you know, they could find their inner, you know, creativity. You know, whatever it is that makes them stand out, whatever it is that makes them special, you know, that's what I tried to
mm-hmm.
do, you know, with them. And, you know, they really looked up to me, and, you know, I got a lot of praise, I guess you would say, from my fellow students upon graduation, you know, and a lot of tears were shed. So, yeah, it was a good experience. It was a positive experience, really nothing negative.
Okay. Okay, so I did not know that in regards to the math. So was the math related to, like, one of the things I alluded to earlier in regards to, like, portions? Or is it, I mean, of course, you know, there's, like, a lot of measurements and, of course, in cooking different, you know, menu ingredients and things of that nature. Or is that based off equipment being used and temperature? I mean, what was the math part? I can guess some of it, but what was it?
Yeah. It's, I mean, you know, we have to do fractions, you know, we have to cut recipes in half or in thirds or what have you, or we have to increase recipes, you know, especially if you're in, like, the catering business and you have to determine, you know, how much you're going to need, how much product for, you know, 150, 200 people. You've got to know how to do that, you know. Also,
mm-hmm.
when you're doing, you know, like the baking portion of things, you know, there's a lot of chemistry involved there, which also has a lot of math, you know. You know,
yeah.
baking is science, essentially. It's just science.
Yeah.
And, yeah, there's a lot that goes, a lot more that goes into being a chef than just cooking food.
Exactly. That's why I said creating at the very top of the hour, 646-652-4479. If somebody wants to sneak in and ask Ms. Didi a question in regards to being a chef. Okay, so culinary school is over. You graduated. Tears are shed. So what was you mentioned a particular restaurant. I want you to repeat that and mention your experience in that particular opportunity coming out of culinary school.
Yeah, I went to work for I'm not going to mention the restaurant's name, but I went to work for a farm-to-table restaurant, and it was a true farm-to-table restaurant. a lot of celebrities go there and eat there and whatnot. So that's why I don't really mention it. And they stay there as well when they're here filming. But I learned so much there. And, you know, it was a hard lesson to learn because we made our own pasta. We made our own bread. We made, you know, everything from scratch. You know, the farm was on premises. I could walk out the back door, grab rosemary, thyme, whatever. It was right out the back door. And I appreciate the opportunity that I was given there because, you know, it set me up to, you know, be a better chef. It taught me, you know, that hard work pays off because at the end of the day, your goal is to make that customer happy. And as long as that customer is happy, you've done your job properly. And, you know, people love to eat. People love to go out to eat. You know, it's a special occasion for them. So if as a chef, if you can, you know, make that experience for them good, then they're going to go tell their friends. And, you know how word of mouth works. And, you know, they send people, you know, to see you and what have you. And, it was just really a great opportunity for me, but it was time for me to move forward in my career. And, you know, at that restaurant, I was not the executive chef. I was not the chef over. I was a chef in that restaurant. I am now an executive chef. So, you know, yeah, it was time for me to move forward in my career and take that next step. And I was ready.
Excellent. You have that proverbial leap of faith at a certain point. You got to continue. It's called progress, you know, folks. You know, I've always said that in all my time and doing things. At a certain point, you have to know that you're progressing. You have to feel that you're progressing. You have to be able to show proof that you're progressing at a certain point. So, executive chef. So, what was it like walking into that setting, knowing that? Okay, you see the kitchen. That kitchen is your kitchen. You know, the menu, you have say-so over what's going to happen. Kind of tell the audience a little bit about that. Now, before you do that, I will say this, because I do have a little bit of experience in working with a chef over at SunTrust Park and also Turner Field before they closed down at the 755 Club and the Infinity Club in regards to the wealth of responsibilities a chef has to try to feed, you know, literally thousands of people and multiple menus at, you know, any given time that can change pretty much on a daily basis almost. It's a lot. And I was just handling all the people getting the food to people and getting it off of people on a regular basis and making sure the bar was full and making sure this employee over it. It's a lot without even talking about the food part. But then also having to be able to interact with the chef, to be able to say, hey, this, and this isn't going too well out here. You might have to make this change right here. Or, hey, guess what? We're out of something completely and on a fly. And it could be scary. I mean, if you've never experienced that. So you as an executive chef, Didi, tell everybody kind of just the flow of what, like a, well, I should even use the word normal, a normal day might be for you.
Well, my situation is a little bit different than that. I'm not feeding thousands of people. I'm feeding a fraternity. There's usually around 50 to 60 kids in their fraternity, and it's just me by myself. I don't have a sous chef. I don't have a cook, a line cook. I don't have a dishwasher. I do it all. I, you know, get there in the morning, I prep, I do brunch on my house is the only house that does brunch. So I do brunch on Saturday and Sunday for them. And then Emory baseball on Monday and Tuesday. And I'll be moving over to another house this next fall semester. But anyway, coming in the morning, I get ready for brunch. Sometimes I'll make homemade biscuits. I make quiche. I've done crepes. You know, everything I do from scratch. And, you know, it's basically just, you know, getting everything ready and putting everything out for them, you know, in time. That's the main goal, is to make sure that they have their food in time. And then after they get done with that, I shut it down and I prep for dinner. I'm doing all the dishes. I'm cooking all the food. Now, we do have set menus for the most part, except for brunch. I make those menus. And I think it's just, it's given me a lot of experience as an executive chef. It's basically like I'm running my own little restaurant there. And, you know, it'll prepare me for, you know, anything I decide to do, if I do decide to do anything different in the future. You know, I kind of like it there.
I hear you now. Don't want to change things too quick. Let me ask you this, just on that side of things. Then, what's the so far? Because again, a lot of us, you know, a lot of us have seen a lot of images of your food and things of that nature. What's the largest meal that you've prepared so far?
The largest?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, since I'm feeding the same amount of people every night, it's pretty consistent. You know, I do, you know, pastas, and, you know, then we do salads and bread and desserts, and we do a lot of dessert too. I know it was the other night, one of the kids brought me a live lobster and wanted me to cook that for him.
Oh, wow. Okay.
So I had to start a pot of water.
Oh, so that's how that happened. Someone brought that to you. I was wondering about
that.
Yeah,
it was. They were taking their end of semester, you know, pictures with their little suits on and everything, and they wanted a photo op with just lobster. So they brought it to me, and they're like, "Chef Dee Dee, can you cook this lobster?" I'm like, "Well, yeah, I can cook it, but I got to get some water boiling." And so, yeah, I cooked the lobster for them. They ate it. They said it was delicious, and they took pictures and apparently sent them back to their parents. But
oh, my goodness.
It's funny.
Wow.
The guys are great. They are great. It's really fun. It's a fun atmosphere.
Wow, that's hilarious. So the future. So on the side of being a chef, what would you say? Let's just say, you know, and right now you know where you're at Emory, not going anywhere anytime soon. But if you were to start considering a move, what would it be? Would it be the possibility of, like, I'll throw it out there, having your own restaurant and or having a, you know, control of a kitchen at another restaurant in and itself? What would be that next step if and when you plan to do it?
My next step would definitely be my own restaurant if I decide to go that route. You know, the economy and, you know, all that stuff, tourism, where I live. I live in a tourist town. All that would have to factor in. I'd have to have a really good team on my side. You know, a lot of that would be family members and close friends. And I would really love to open up a country soul food restaurant here in Sonoya. We don't have that here. And, you know, it would be, I know it would be a hit. I know that my food is good. I know I can sell that. But, you know, it's I'm not sure that I'm either ready for that yet or, you know, if the economy is going to support that. You know, things are kind of up in the air right now.
Just a little bit.
Yeah, as far as that's concerned. So, yeah, there's a lot to consider, you know.
Country
in that
soul
regard,
food.
But
I like the concept.
I mean,
gotcha.
A lot of people don't know what Atlanta food is, you know. Atlanta food is not, you know, a lot of these restaurants that claim to be, you know, Southern Atlanta food restaurants, you know, they sell a lot of Louisiana flair. And that's not what I grew up with, you know. We grew up on meatloaf and butter beans and cornbread and, you know, squash, things from the garden. And, you know, we grew up on crab legs and crawfish here. Well, not say anything bad about crawfish.
Uh-oh, we're getting over to the sports side of things now. I heard some hoodats in the background. Watch out.
Oh, Lord.
Watch out now. So actually, that's actually a great segue because a lot of everybody might not know that you are, I will say, avid sports fan. I want to say kind of throw it out there. You're an Atlanta fan. But do you have a favorite team? And, you know, kind of give everybody a little hint of your fandom in regards to Atlanta sports.
My love and my loyalty lies here in the ATL. And, you know, I'm a Falcons fan. I'm a Georgia Tech fan. That's my college team. Now, y'all don't be hating on me now. I'm a Hawks fan. You know, if the team is in Atlanta, I'm a fan. You know, I have not had an opportunity to go to an Atlanta United game yet, and I really do want to do that. I was hoping to, you know, to do that soon, but, you know, with everything shutting down, that's not going to happen. But, yeah, my love and my loyalty is here to Atlanta sports. And, you know, I don't have any other teams outside of Atlanta, Georgia.
And again, one of those things where when you're Atlanta-based and you grow up in Georgia at any kind, it's like, why would you be a fan of any other team? What are you doing? What are you talking about? That's one of the reasons I actually had started my show around the ATL, because I was like, I'm not really trying to talk about any other teams. Like, what are you talking about? I'm not doing it. I don't want to do that. I want to concentrate on the teams that are in the state of Georgia, the city of Atlanta, and the surrounding areas, whether it be college. Because we do talk about Georgia Tech, by the way, Dee, just let you know, and on my other show. And of course, the city of Atlanta, both, you know, all the professional teams, the Dream included, Atlanta United included. We haven't gotten around to the Georgia Swarm just yet. But we will.
We'll get there. You know, I want to go to one of their games as well.
Exactly. And like you said, Atlanta is such a wealth of everything. I mean, you can you'll never go to the same restaurant twice if you don't want to in Atlanta. You know, there's so many things that you can do in Atlanta. You mentioned the tourist part of it. So definitely, if and when you do make that decision to open a restaurant, I'm sure it will be successful. You already have a mindset to, you know, make it happen. So I'd be very happy to, you know, anything I can maybe do on that end if you ever do it. You know, don't forget me. I'll still be around.
Oh, I won't. You know, I live in Sonoya, where The Walking Dead is filmed. So, you know, it's here, you know. I know that there's an opportunity here, but, you know, just don't know how the economy's going to react with everything going on. So.
Exactly. Well, Didi, I want to say thank you so much for being on the show. One more question I do have to ask, so I want everybody to be able to listen, because, remember, this is the Women in Business show. For the ladies that are out there that have thought about it, because there's, of course, a wealth of ability out there when it comes to the food industry. But what would you say would be the biggest thing to think about and consider for someone who is contemplating getting into the food industry in a particular aspect? What would you say would be the biggest piece of advice that you could give?
Two things, actually. It's very, very hard work. It's manual labor. It's stressful. But in a good way, if you're doing what you love. Don't get into this field if you don't love feeding people, if you don't love to cook, because it's not the field for you. And at the end of the day, if you do decide to get into this field, always, always remember to give back to your community. We have so much opportunity in this profession to give back. You know, we go out and we feed the homeless every year. I'm one of the sous chefs for the Hosea Feed the Homeless organization. So always remember to stay humble and give back, you know, what's been given to you. So that's my advice.
Didi, that is perfectly said. Can't end the show any better than that. How can anybody find you on social media if you're popping around and you happen to come across your page? Where do you have any social media pages out there?
I have my sports social media page. You can follow me on Instagram at the Dirty Bird Bandit.
Dirty Bird Bandit, Instagram, y'all. Follow her. So, Didi, again, I'm so happy and overjoyed to finally have gotten you on the show. I really wanted to make sure that people got to learn about you a little bit, just your journey, just in general, how you got started and where you are now and possible future restaurant. All right. And I can't wait to have you on the show again really soon, okay?
Thank you so much for having me, Chris. It was fun.
Thank you. You take care now.
You too.
And that was Chef Dee Dee LeBlanc, and that was a great interview, just on all kinds of different tangents. Again, the whole purpose of the Women in Business show is to highlight women who have put their foot in the dirt and said, I'm going this way instead of going over here, or maybe not even going anywhere at all. As she mentioned, at a certain point, she was working with all these, you know, smart people and in this particular industry that at the end of the day, it wasn't really, I believe she said, used the word fulfilling. And if she didn't, now use it. And that goes a long way to say the risk reward factor. Sometimes you do have to step out on, you know, faith, you know, sometimes, and whether or not it works out or not, at least, you know, and I've been saying that for years, it's better for you to find out whether to be woulda, shoulda, coulda. I could have did it. I would have, you know, it makes no sense, because the worst thing that can happen is that it doesn't happen, you know, but that's only after you've tried a number of ways and never, you know, and everybody tells you no. That's why I usually say everybody has to tell you no before you even really think about giving up. Again, so many people over 10, 20, 30, 40 years, it took them to get to where they're at. And you see them on TV. You see them in movies. You see their commercials. You see a print ad. You know, you wear their clothes. You know, you have designers that took forever to get their name out there, Vera Wang. You know, and it's just one of those, hey, Kentucky Fried Chicken, the Colonel, you know, slinging chicken out of his truck, right? Slinging it. And then all of a sudden, he has KFC and he has a conglomerate around the world, you know. But that didn't happen until his 60s, though. Imagine waiting 40 years to get to where it actually worked. You see it and you keep commenting on it on social media, but then when it's time for you to do it, you're like, no, I'll just stay over here. You can't do that at a certain point. So I really appreciate Dee Dee being on the show tonight. It was definitely a fun interview, of course. I always try to do a little bit of fun when I can. So that being said, don't forget, you can listen to this episode along with other episodes on Spreaker, iHeartRadio, Spotify. So if you are a member of those platforms, why wouldn't you want to follow the Women in Business show? Please do that. And then also follow IMTN Worldwide Radio on Instagram. Follow it on Facebook as well. You have one of those two pages, right? There is a Twitter page for IMTN Worldwide Radio, believe it or not. It's IMTN Radio. All right, so follow that page as well. Hit me up. We're going to go ahead and get out of here, close the show out tonight. I'm going to go get loaded up for a coronavirus, because people keep talking about coronavirus. So I'm going to go to the store and see if I can get some stuff. Anyway, oh, wow, the world we live in right now. So that being said, please share this show. If you know her, definitely go hit her up and say, hey, that was a great interview. If you don't know her, hit her up and say, hey, that was a great interview. That's the whole other point of the Women in Business show, is to show support to those who are doing things in the community. So that being said, we're going to get out of here. Y'all take care. This is the Women in Business show on IMTN Worldwide Radio. Y'all take care. Peace. We'll be right back.